feel like shopping lately? Today we'll learn if you had company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Nuance Power PDF, a scalable solution designed to accurately convert, combine, and edit business documents. Nuance.com/PowerPDF. PDF uncompromised.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In an hour and a half, the government's tally of retail sales will hit the financial wires. Many other business decisions in America are tied to the mood of consumers, as Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Brutal weather meant dismal sales early in the year. Then, finally, some good numbers in March.
There was a hint that spring was actually arriving, and it spurred some consumer spending.
Syracuse University retail professor Amanda Nicholson says retailers she talks with sound a little happier.
Much more hopeful. People are actually smiling occasionally because the warmth brings people out.
But nice weather only goes so far.
To get people enticed, it seems to take a lot more effort than it used to.
Morningstar's Bob Johnson says stores are slashing prices to move product. Now, we all love deals, but big sales can signal troubling news about shoppers' lives.
Consumers are straining.
John Talbot of Indiana University's Business School says if the coming weeks aren't strong for retailers, the impact could ripple through Christmas.
When they have a challenging first and second quarter, they tend to cut back on hiring, so I think it can have kind of a dampening effect on the overall economy.
I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
The huge American pharmaceutical company Pfizer very much wants to buy rival AstraZeneca of the UK. Despite the $106 billion being waved around, AstraZeneca management is not interested, although ultimately it's up to its shareholders to decide. Today, British lawmakers questioned the CEO of Pfizer about his intentions, the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker.
The central concerns are jobs and science. AstraZeneca employs 6,700 people in the UK, and certainly the sheer employment concern is one thing that's bothering the MPs. But they're also worried that if there were a loss of some of the high-powered research and development jobs, that it would affect the UK's science base, its ability to continue acting as an important centre for scientific and in particular medical research. And they're very anxious that that should not be lost.
Pfizer is promising that 20% of its workforce will stay in Britain, but critics worry how legally binding these are. Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 4 points, not even a tenth percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures, as well as the Dow future, are all up. And there's more chatter this morning about an impending deal by AT&T to buy DirecTV. The Wall Street Journal is putting such a deal, if it happens, in the $50 billion range.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Zillow, with homes for sale, historical pricing data, and photos available on Zillow.com or its family of apps. Zillow, find your way home. By Allianz, serving more than 78 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
If someone forces you to name the biggest economic and social transformation of the last 35 years, what do you say? All right, the internet. But what about China, where more than 500 million people have moved up from poverty? Like so much good writing about vast topics, New Yorker writer Evan Osnos tells the story from the grassroots. His new book, Age of Ambition, Chasing Fortune, Truth, and Faith in the New China, is out today. Mr. Osnos, good morning.
Good morning.
So biggest story in 25 years on this planet, and you were there for it. China decides it's okay for some people to get rich and the world changes. Tell me about your approach. It's really to look at this big story from the grassroots.
Yeah, I found that when I got to China in 2005, I think like a lot of people, I had learned about it mostly through these vast, sweeping statements. But I didn't really have a feel for what it felt like to be on the ground. And so what I found was that people were living extraordinary lives, swept up in really unbelievable changes.
Now, it's tough for me to pick just one out of the book, but time is of the essence. So who will ever forget the man who we now know as Justin Yifu Lin, the Chinese economist, and he's the former chief economist of the World Bank. But Evan, he started out where exactly?
He has an extraordinary story. I met Justin Ifu Lin when he was exactly that. He was a famous economist, and he began his life as a young lieutenant in Taiwan. And he decided in 1979 that this country was going to transform and that he was going to be there for it. And he defected from the army of Taiwan, and he swam to mainland China, and he ended up going to the United States to get a PhD and coming back and becoming, in many ways, the most visible spokesman for the economic argument that China is making to the rest of the world.
Now, how often, Evan, do you lie awake at night, just like I assume Premier Li Keqiang lies awake at night, worried about what will happen if China doesn't grow fast enough to absorb all those people who want to join the big party going on in the cities who come in from the hinterlands? It needs to keep growing or there are going to be more tensions.
The Communist Party in many ways unleashed the single greatest surge of human capacity in history. But in doing so, it also created an enormous threat to itself because it created a population that has come to expect that year on year their lives will continue to get better. You know, 25 years ago, there was the demonstrations at Tiananmen Square. There was a young person who once said to a reporter in the middle of those protests, he said, you know, I don't know exactly what we want, but we want more of it. It's this constant ravenous appetite for something bigger and better. And that puts a huge amount of pressure on the party to be able to deliver.
New Yorker writer Evan Osnos is author of the new book, Age of Ambition, Chasing Fortune, Truth, and Faith in the New China. Evan, thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
And economic data from China today covering April show across-the-board weakness in economic activity there, with data from output to investment to consumption all missing market expectations, leading to renewed calls for Beijing to ease policies in order to shore up growth. Our ongoing coverage of a changing China is in digital form at marketplace.org. Put China into the search box and look in particular for the work of my man, Rob Schmitz. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Dear listeners of a certain age, I hate to break this to you, but
the answer isn't always on a website. It might be in somebody's head. It might be very contextual to the problem that you have.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, investing big in the question-answering business. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.